The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And we're ready to tackle another week here this NFL season, a shrinking season. Just five games to go, believe it or not, as we get ready for another trip in the division against the Minnesota Vikings. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bears Coaches Show, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios in Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak here with you until 7:30 tonight with the head coach, Mark Trestman. Good evening, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, yeah. Listen, hey, yesterday, you know, you start with a 14-point deficit, and the finish isn't any better, really, when in terms of the scoreboard. They score the final 15, and that's why you have the loss yesterday. Really, when you boil it down to simplicity, that's it. Slow start, finish, got away, boom, never could overcome that 14-point deficit.
Yeah, we couldn't catch up. We couldn't win the turnover battle, which would have really helped. At the end of the day, you win the turnover battle, even with the penalties that we had. I think we can overcome it. Even with the 14-0 start, I think we can. We got a chance to overcome it if we can win the turnover battle. We couldn't make that up. We just couldn't get it done yesterday in all three phases. And, you know, as I told the guys after, you know, each and every week, you know, we win as a team and lose as a team. And I accept accountability. We didn't have the start we wanted. We fought our tails off throughout the game to try to get that done. And we just could never catch up.
Is there a common component here that you're looking at in terms of the slow starts? You've mentioned the last three games that way.
Well, I don't know. It's difficult. I mean, each and every game is its own entity. And even with Trayvon Austin's first touchdown, you know, that doesn't diminish our ability or our sense that we can't win the game. When you have a penalty on the first kickoff and you put the ball on the ground on the first play, that's a difficult way to start on the road, and it turns into 14-0. But you look at the resiliency of our team on play two of our first 15. We took a drive all the way down the field and turned it into a 14-7 game. And we kick off and we didn't hold. They went up 21-7, and eventually we came back. We got to within 7. They made it 10. We couldn't get it back, and our guys fought. As I said, they fought their tails off. There was great effort, and each and every man and each and every coach shares the accountability and responsibility for the loss.
It's interesting because I thought about this earlier today, because you mentioned it as well on the Tavon Austin run, a little misdirection, counter reverse, or whatever you want to call it, and you say that is not as impactful to the bigger picture, but does it put a doubt in a defender's mind, especially a unit right now that is still trying to learn how each other plays, because there are so many new and in some cases inexperienced at the pro level faces?
I personally don't think so. I don't think that's relevant. I think that there's nobody on the field that can match Tavon Austin's speed. Mm-hmm. Our team's speed is very close to their team's speed. I said that today at the press conference. I don't think their defensive team speed affected our offense's ability to move the ball yesterday. And when we were doing it right, when we were fitting it right, and we were in the right place defensively, we had the ability to stop, and we played with very good energy. But we had too many mistakes across the board, we have to take accountability for that.
You also mentioned the difference in the discipline issue, you know, today. By definition, mm-hmm. It carries different meaning, again, instant by instant. And yesterday was very different than, say, a week ago, when you just talk about penalties. But it's also other things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I talk about discipline, there's discipline within the framework of your assignment. And there were times during the course of a game, you know, we didn't get lined up right. We didn't have the right fit. We weren't where we were supposed to be. That's discipline. The other discipline is the type of discipline we talked about last week. Focus discipline, pre-snap penalties, and things that can, you know, take you back and you have accountability for directly, because they're not affected by the subjective judgment of the officiating. Yesterday was a different kind. We had penalties. We had 8 or 9 penalties yesterday, 5-1 drive, of which the offense overcame those penalties. But the penalties on special, but even though we overcame it, we took too much time to get there, to get home, to score these touchdowns, and it eliminated other possessions that we may have had offensively. But that's that kind of discipline is the, you know, pass interference discipline, and those are subjective. You know, holding those kind of blocks, some of them are subjective, but you have to be able to overcome that. And yesterday we couldn't. And we couldn't, not because of anything else, but other than the fact that we didn't take care of the ball and we didn't create the turnovers. That's the number one way to win a game and being in the fourth quarter. If you're up in the turnover battle, you're going to be right in the game in the fourth quarter. And we could honestly say, I think, that amidst everything that happened yesterday, if we were a little more disciplined and we had been able to find a way to create a couple turnovers and take care of the ball offensively, that we would have been right in the fourth quarter.
Touchdowns came off the board yesterday three times, including Devin Hester's return. That was a big one. But again, I know it's crazy that that number for the turnovers, it comes back to haunt every team when they don't get the positive number or at least come out even. Only the second time this year you didn't get a takeaway. But when you look at 30 first downs, you look at nearly 500 yards of offense, you look at a 77% completion percentage by your quarterback, you look at what else am I missing in terms of the offense, the big numbers. I mean, third down success. I mean, if you were just to look at that, you're thinking, wow, Bears win big. But it didn't happen.
It's all three phases, and there are things certainly that we stopped ourselves offensively that the guys saw today, and the little things we could do better.
Like what on offense when you're talking about?
You know, I mean, I think you look at it, and you know, if we hold up a block a little bit longer, if we don't hit somebody in the back, and we use the proper technique, a lot of different things, and no one thing. I mean, when you do it in every phase, it's not about the effort. I mean, I cannot get upset with our football team the way they work each and every day. Our guys put out every day to try to do the best they can. They're focused. They come in with energy. I can't say our guys weren't ready to play because Tavon Austin had a big run or Matt Forte put the ball in the ground. I can't say that. Matt Forte played like a warrior yesterday. He played a terrific game. He wants that ball back on the first play of the game. So it wasn't that our guys weren't ready to play. We just didn't do enough to get it done.
You know, when you mentioned that, it brought this up for those people who might question that or whatever, when they just look at the sheer scoreboard or whatever, what signs to you would there be that a team wouldn't be ready to play?
I think that, you know, the big thing to me a lot of times is pre-snap penalties is what we did a week ago where we weren't sharp offensively in the first four or five plays. To me, that was very disappointing, certainly disappointing to our players. Our guys did a much, much better job. They walked through the first 15 on the field before the game yesterday just to make sure that everybody was assignment perfect. And we did a heck of a job after the fumble. We just went to play two when we started the next series. Our guys went right down the field. We had a meticulous drive with a lot of good things happened. So, you know, that's a good sign. That shows a resilient team, a team that has toughness. I think our team is resilient. I think it has mentally tough. I think it is mentally tough. I think that our guys do accept accountability for not doing their job on specific plays. But in terms of the team being together and the guys working together during the course of the week, when they come to the sideline, as I say, they're not going to meet the enemy. You can't meet the enemy when you see how hard these guys work on and off the field. You can't do it.
Three left, one right, shotgun. Snap is back to McCown. McCown with time, throws right side of the end zone. Pass is caught at the one, and they give him the touchdown. Touchdown, Martellus. Touchdown, Martellus Bennett. On T.J. McDonald in from seven and the Bears around the board.
Martellus Bennett, second straight week, is the Bears' play of the week. Brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. 7-yard touchdown grab is fifth, tying a career high for Martellus. Now one of seven tight ends with more than 1,000 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns since the start of 2012. Welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak here on the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. Everything that you've talked about since your arrival here, and you put things into focus for your team, and it's a day-by-day battle. It's not a week-to-week. It's not a big-picture look at things, was echoed by Martellus Bennett today in the locker room. You know, people were asking him, are you watching Detroit? Are you watching the standings? Do you care that the Lions lost and the Bears were unable to get the job done in St. Louis? And he said all the things that really have been echoed by you and your coaching staff is that you can't worry about the other guy's backyard. You got to worry about you. And that's really the focus here as you move into the final five.
Yeah, worry is just stress about things you have no control over, and that's things that are you think might happen in the future. The only thing we can take care of is the present moment. And, you know, right now the present moment says get your rest, get your energy back, and come in focused and ready to go on Wednesday morning. And that's what we asked our guys to do today. And we got a long season ahead. It's really the first game of the rest of the season. Season's really beginning on Sunday once again, and it does every week. And that's the way we've approached it. We're not going to change that approach. You know, we'll let the other teams take care of the other teams, and we've just got to take care of our ourselves, and that means we've got to get back to work and get better and focus on growing as a football team. We got to go into Minnesota. We got to win a game, but that's not until Sunday. We got to get better each and every day, and that's where our focus is.
You mentioned takeaways, too. I don't think the team has had a fumble recovery since week four. Those often are also, and this is an argument we could have till the cows come home, I guess, but some of it is the bounce of the football and some luck involved, too, but it's also being in the right place at the right time and trying to get one of those. How do you look at the takeaway situation overall?
Well, it's not where we want it to be over the last couple of weeks, as you said. Number one, we can't give the ball away offensively. We can't do that because that hurts the bottom line of the takeaways on the defensive side. But a lot of it is, just continue to work at it to make sure that guys are in the right place and where they're supposed to be at the right time. And we can improve in that area. We haven't had all of that happen on a consistent basis. And we've got some young guys doing it for the first time in their careers, and they're getting better. They're getting better, but that's where we have to go to work. You have to do your assignment. You have to be accountable to know where to line up, know where to be after the snap, and know how to adjust when things change. And I think that's the biggest thing with a newer group and a group that hasn't been around. When things change, you know how to respond properly, and that's the next phase of this learning process.
And everybody's got to go through it. You got to have failure to have success in your life, whether it's on the football field or off, correct?
Yeah, the biggest thing is to have the right attitude. Our guys do. I mean, they come to work every day and are extremely positive and energetic, and they've got amnesia. You know, whether we've won or lost, they've come back to work, and they've started over each and every week to try to get better, and we got to continue in that manner.
Do you find it any more difficult to convince a younger player of that? Because it could get into their head that, I'm worried about... Again, I'm going to use that word worry, but not making a mistake. You know, that's something Shane McClellan brought up last week. He was too worried about mistakes. He didn't want to make the mistake as opposed to making the play.
I think that's a process that every young player has to go through. I think we have a leadership group here of guys, whether they're playing right now or not, they're around to help these guys out and to be a voice. Through their demeanor and through their actions and just simply helping coaching them up, whether it's what Lance is doing or what Charles has done when he's been around and has been out and so forth along the way, that we've got guys that coaches that are doing that job. We have players as well taking on leadership roles, Tim Jennings and guys who've been doing it for a while to help these guys along.
We often hear when it goes well in a run game like this, when an offensive line and an offense can generate a ton of rushing yards, it's demoralizing to a defense. Do you see any signs of that at times with what's gone on with the rushing yards against your defense?
I do. I mean, I saw it yesterday when we fit the power right and everybody's in the right place, as we did in practice during the week in their walkthroughs and in the team-oriented areas of practice. We fit it right. It's a three-yard gain. When we don't, somebody breaks a test. Somebody gets into space and makes a play, and you see it. They see the ebb and flow of that in a game where we'll do it right one time, and the next time, somebody will miss a fit or somebody will miss a spill, and it breaks out. But the yards a team makes in the run game isn't necessarily the reason why you lose the game. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to win, and the most important way is to take care of the football, be disciplined, and that means be focused, no pre-snap penalties. Eliminate the other error in your game, the other penalty side of the game, and you're going to have a chance. You're in the turnover race during the course. You're going to be in the game. We saw that last night. I mean, a lot of different things happened. There were a lot of yards, running the football last night, and a team that was able to find, there's ways to find ways to win when you're not doing well in one specific area, and turnovers is number one.
Montellus to the right. Shotgun snap is back to McCown. Throws left side. End zone! Touchdown! Touchdown Bears to Brandon. Brandon Marshall on Janoris Jenkins.
Josh McCown, our player of the week. He's brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. He completed 77% of his passes, 352 yards, a 100 quarterback rating, couple of touchdowns, engineered an offense that piled up 30 first downs, the most by a Bears team in 33 years, and his 36 completions, a single game franchise record. by the Chicago Bears. Back at the Bears Network Radio Studios here at Hallis Hall with head coach Mark Trestman with you until 7:30 tonight. Let's talk about Josh's performance overall. I know we broke it down in our game night live show last night on Fox. Also, I was looking at all the different plays when he was moving in the pocket, climbing the pocket, sidestepping the rush and so forth, and that created some windows and some really good opportunities. I think a one pass in particular, a sideline throw, I don't know how many yards it was, maybe 19 yards, to Brandon Marshall, pinpoint throw, great under heat. You know, I thought he did a really good job moving around. What'd you think?
I thought he had an outstanding game. I think he'd be the first to tell you his offensive line played a tremendous game. Yes, our tackles, Bushrod and Jordan Mills, just outstanding on their two guys, Quinn and Long, really did a good job of holding onto the edges. They fought their tails off. Our backs did a good job in the protection, and so did Martellus and Eben and Ben Britton as well. And so I think it starts there. I think he managed the game well. He stepped up in the pocket, like you said. He moved around. He climbed. He took care of the football. Broke down once late in the game on a blindside play. But overall, you know, did everything we asked him. We called a place. He managed the game, took care of the ball, you know, gave us a chance to win the game. I thought outstanding.
There was some pressure, obviously, from those two ends. You're going to get pressure and you're going to get some hits on the quarterback. How do you evaluate how they did in terms of that aspect?
Well, this is a team that 20% of the time the quarterback gets hit on one out of every five passes. The quarterback's getting hit when you throw the ball against the St. Louis Rams. So, you know, we did very well in that regard. I didn't realize we had thrown 47 passes until the end of the game. It didn't seem like that. But we were holding up very well, and, you know, we had to try to move the football quickly, and we were able to get it done to our satisfaction, but not to a final score for satisfaction. Obviously, it wasn't enough.
How'd you evaluate the run blocking?
I thought the run blocking was good. I think that Matt made some plays, and you know when our guys just cover up, Matt's got a chance to make a play. He's great at moving behind the line of scrimmage, and he can quietly slide and get himself in position to take some space. We had another touchdown called back this week, which was very, very disappointing. Our second in 2 weeks where Matt had beautiful runs and he got 17 carries. We'd like him to get a couple of more. Certainly, you know, he's touching the ball 24, 25 times a game which is just about where we'd like it to be. But we'd still like him to be more productive, and we've got work to do in our running game to get better. And I think that's the most difficult thing to do with all the different things that our young linemen are seeing. It's a little more difficult in the run blocking side than it is the pass blocking side.
Do you ever in your mind have an idea like when that usually comes to fruition then for a new and younger offensive line?
Yeah, I think it's happening.
Run game.
I think it's happening, and I think it'll continue to get better as we move along. We've got to be able to run the ball and we're playing in a dome, which certainly, you know, gives us the opportunity to do either this week. But, you know, we're working very hard at it. And I think Aaron and Pat Meyer are continue to work with these guys. And the little details and fundamentals and the techniques that go into playing good offensive line play, but particularly in the running game.
You knew Kyle Long was going to be hyped up playing his brother. He's hyped up anyway. What, if anything, had you say to him about that incident at the 8-something mark of the second quarter when the intentional grounding should have ended the entire process, but it didn't?
Well, we all know, I mean, you know, Kyle's the first one to tell you that there's moments where he just loses his cool. He loses his mind because that's the guy he becomes is not really the guy he is. I mean, he's a heck of a young man. He's putting in his time. He's got great work ethic. He's very, very smart. And I didn't have to say anything to him. I looked over the sideline, and he was certainly under control. I know that once the rage came out of him, that he calmed himself down and we went back and played. He played very well again. You know, we didn't have any pre-snap penalties yesterday. We had a couple of holds. One hold was to protect the quarterback. Bush had to do that to protect the quarterback. That Quinn got an edge on him, and we got one on the edge. With Earl, which was very, very close call, and could have gone either way, quite frankly. But at the end of the day, Kyle kept his poise. He focused on his job. He knew that his brother was going to be on the other side of the line, but he was really not going to be blocking him most of the time. And I thought he did a very good job of that.
Injury update. You mentioned Jay Cutler is not likely to go this week, but he will play. He on his radio show tonight would love to be on the field for the December 9th game against the Dallas Cowboys at Soldier Field. That's the one he circled as a target to return. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair representation of Jay?
You know, we're going week to week on it. I know Jay knows his body, you know, better than anybody, and I'm going to let him speak for himself there. I hope he's right, and we'll see. We've got to say week to week, and but there's a lot of things flying and a lot of rumors out there, and the fact of the matter is he's got a sprained ankle, and that's what he's got, and it's healing, and it's healing well. It's stable, and we'll see where he is next week.
Will Matt Forte be able to go this week?
It looks promising. We'll see where he is on Wednesday, but that looks promising, and we'll see where we are with Jeremiah. And we'll see where we are with Stephen Paya this week, and we'll know more as we move into the week.
Well, it sounds like everything's tracking towards a pretty healthy December. Knock on wood, everybody can possibly get back on the field.
Yeah, Lance is week to week, and we're hopeful for that. You know, the number one thing we got to do is every man that's in Halas Hall during this week has got to focus on one thing, and that's getting better each and every day in the preparation for Sunday in Minnesota.
Stopping Adrian Peterson. Tough.
Yeah, we know Adrian's going to get, I tell the guys, Adrian's going to get his runs. You know, if we take care of the football and can knock it out a couple times and play smart and disciplined, we'll be right there in the fourth quarter. It's a tough league. Ask Green Bay. They had to play Minnesota. This is a team where a league where a lot of people are feeling the adversity of yesterday. And, you know, this is a league based on who can be tough the longest. You know, everybody's mentally tough. This is a league of great competitors, and it's really who can accept accountability, who can be the toughest the longest. That's what this season's all about, and to be able to play when the time comes and make the plays when the plays are needed. It's a heck of a league, and we couldn't ask for more. We're in position to control what we can control right here, and it all starts on Sunday.
All right, well, good luck. Have a good week.
You bet.
That is Bears head coach Mark Trestman. Coming up next, we are joined by two more assistant coaches for the Bears as we break down their interesting side of things, Brendan Nugent and Carson Walsh, the Bears quality control offensive coaches.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, and this hour featuring assistant coaches Brendan Nugent and Carson Walsh. Brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Jodiak.
Four up front, they're bringing a fifth on the blitz, untouched, throwing left, caught by Forte, sheds a man to the 35, gets the first out of the 40 up the sideline left to the 45 and out of bounds. Near the 49-yard line, right in front of the Bears bench. Effort, 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 Matt Forte.
And welcome back out of the Bears Coaches Show. It's 7:06 here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios, joined by assistant coaches Brendan Nugent and Carson Walsh, both offensive quality control coaches, and we will get into what that entails day-to-day, but most importantly, they are members of a first-year staff trying to get these Bears to perform and play some winning football. And that title alone, people who are not in tune with those titles in terms of coaches, what do they mean, first and foremost, before we start breaking down what you guys do day to day? Quality control has a pretty broad scope, I'd imagine, for you guys.
Brent? Sure. Quality control, essentially what we do is we're assistants to the assistants and to Mark. I mean, it's a lot of the, for lack of a better term, grunt work, the film breakdowns, the drawing of the runs and the passes for game plans and stuff like that. And then just, wherever you need to be, whoever you need to help, what do you need to do? You're kind of Johnny on the spot type deal.
Carson, that also equates to me that you never sleep. Is that about right?
to be honest, most of the coaches on our staff, offensively speaking, the guys we work with the most, they're here long hours. They really are. And it's not just us two that are here late. A lot of those guys grind very, very long hours. So it's a team effort.
Do you like the diversity of the job and the different things you guys are asked to do?
Sure. You kind of get, you learn a lot, it's a learning experience as well. You're learning how to coach, learning more football every day and getting to work with all aspects of the offense. It kind of helps that way. And it just helps you become a better coach and, where you want to go from there.
Yeah, I agree with Brendan. I always tell everyone it's an education every day, and you just got to have an open mind and do our best to serve these assistant coaches. And most of those guys have been in a similar role to where we're at some point in their career. And it's just try to do what we can to serve those guys and make their job easier to get our guys ready to play.
And the headline is you're in the NFL. You know, for the first time in each case, and look at the smiles on your faces because there's nothing like it, right? As much as you guys have coached in college and you guys have very unique paths, obviously, to the NFL, you're in the league.
Absolutely.
And that's where the learning comes from. That's the highest level you can get right here.
No question.
So it's fun. We'll talk more about it. Look ahead of the Vikings as well.
But he's a good back. Obviously, you know, they're going to go back and watch the Rams game. And obviously, you know, they want to try to get him going. So, you know, we need to stay on our gaps. That's everybody. And obviously, you know, we need to tackle and get him down.
That is earlier today here at Hallis Hall. That is Zach Bowman, the Bears starting cornerback, about Adrian Peterson, who went for a nearly 150 in yesterday's tie with the Green Bay Packers. As the Bears get ready to meet the Vikings, 9 a.m. pregame and noon kickoff right here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios. And you can watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Hallis Hall this Tuesday and Wednesday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. And enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Didn't happen yesterday, only the second time this season, but it will next week against the Minnesota Vikings. So you guys have already started pouring over the Vikings. How much advance work do you do, and when do you start dealing with the next opponent? Does it start right after game ends this week, or do you guys work on it, you know, a little bit in the week before?
We're actually pretty much far ahead. Mondays is kind of our advanced day where we'll go, you know, 3 weeks ahead now.
Okay.
So we'll kind of keep up, you know, with the film breakdown so that you're not pouring into four games on an opponent. You know, I was just talking with Carson about this outside. You know, it's tough sometimes, and I've been in that situation where you come in on a Monday and all throughout the week you're playing Minnesota, but you're breaking down Dallas, and all of a sudden you get the game day and you go, okay, who are we playing again? You know, what do they run? So, you know, we try and knock it out and stay as far ahead as we can on Mondays. So that now we're totally, it's Minnesota for the rest of the week.
Carson, can it blur a little bit? Do you see things that teams are doing and you got to stop yourself and say, wait a minute now, that was what they do. It's not what this team does. Or does that not happen?
Not how we're doing it. Brennan just handed me a schedule and said, this is how we're doing it. And so I'm just following his directions.
What have you guys seen from the latest version of the Vikings since we saw them earlier in the season?
They're definitely mixing their coverages more. So I
a little more man, right?
We'll see a variety of things from them. You know, early on they were a shell team, Tampa team, but they're playing man, they're playing three, they're playing quarters. So it's going to be a good game, and they'll present some challenges for us, especially up front.
I know Coach Trestman says it every week, almost begging for man coverage. So Xavier Rhodes and the fellas, a little more man coverage yesterday. That may not happen against the Bears, but it'll be fun to watch, certainly. But again, much like has happened really virtually every week this season, the types of fronts the Bears have seen and the types of pass rushers, almost an all-star lineup, right? And now these guys, I think the most underrated guy in the NFC in terms of rushing the passer, whether he gets to the quarterback and finishes or not, it's the pressures is Robeson. Brian Robeson is a tough, tough block for anybody.
No question. You know, he gets off the ball. He's quick. He's great speed. And like you said, he may not always get there, but his ability to disrupt things and make the quarterback move and different things like that. I mean, he always seems to be around the ball, and you know, it's tough to just sit on him when you have Jared Allen on the other side. So, you know, they have two good bookends again. It's, you know, similar to last week. You know, we're gonna have O-line's gonna have their work cut out for him.
Now, when do you guys grade tape also of the Bears' performance, like all the rest of the coaches? Are you guys also commissioned to do that or no?
No, I don't. You know, Mike Groh obviously handles the receivers, and then Brendan works with Coach Cromer and Pat Meyer, so they grade.
They grade. We'll watch the film with them and hear, but we won't have an actual grade per se ourselves.
All right, so now let's break down by position, because you, Carson, are working with Coach Groh on the receivers, and boy, what a year Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey are having, and that duo is as dynamic as they come in the league. Do you sit with Coach during the course of the week and this is what I want you to do, Carson, work on this, or do you have a pretty much a routine that you go through now?
Really, since training camp, it's been pretty fluid between Mike and I, and we'll talk throughout the week, and, you know, we have our drills we run on practice each day and throw across some ideas to each other in the pass game with Coach Kavanaugh and the other guys, so It's very fluid. It's very easy. Work very well together. He's a great guy. So.
And is it at all, has it been at any point, and obviously you were in Montreal with Mark Trestman, both of you guys, was it 3 years for you, Carson, and 1 year for you, yep. Brendan, so you're at the pro level. When you walk into a room and help out with a guy that's been to the Pro Bowl three times and Brandon Marshall, or a guy like Alshon Jeffrey, just you know, loaded with just raw talent and ability to go in there and help coach them.
Well, I think at first, you know, for me personally, it was just starting off slow and letting them build trust, you know, letting them know that I'll do what I can for them, and anywhere they need help or assistance, I'll be there. And then gradually, you know, you talk a little bit more about technique and things like that with them, and you just build a relationship of trust and let them know you're there for them, and that you're really there every day just to help them become better players. And then the relationship grows, and you go from there.
You'd spend any more time with, say, somebody like Marquise Wilson, one of the younger rookies in the NFL, you know, as it turns out?
Not anymore with Marquise right now than the other guys, but obviously he's going to blossom and be a real good one for us as well.
All right, Brendan, you help out in the offensive line or the running game?
Yes, sir.
And that's a complicated process. To me, is the most difficult thing in the NFL.
Sure, it's most fun, though.
Especially when it's rolling.
No question. Yeah, you know, I work closely with Coach Cromer in the run game. You know, I'm the one drawing the runs each week for the game plan and everything, and then working with those guys on the field, he and Pat, so... we have a pretty good relationship working together. You know, I think we've kind of all kind of figured each other out and how we work, and, you know, it's been going pretty smoothly.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
I mean, no, it won't feel like it until the season's over. I mean, that's what it really comes down. It's a marathon, and things change every week. You know, you got guys, there was a tie last week. How often does that happen? You know, so you never know what's going to happen. So we just got to keep playing and taking it one game at a time. And, you know, first place is there's no first place until the race is over.
And that is tight end Martellus Bennett earlier today here at Hallis Hall, the one and only Martellus Bennett. He has some great, great quotes today. Yeah, I wish I had time to play them all in the locker room, but could not come up any better than that. But, you know, he brings up a great point as we continue the Bears Coaches Show here from the Chicago Bears Network at Studios. You can't worry about, you know, your neighbor's yard. You got to worry about your own. And that's that's the case, because everyone, are you upset? Did you know the Lions lost while you were trying to beat the Rams? And none of that matters. No player or coach is concentrating on that during the heat of battle. You'd love to have had a different outcome. Didn't happen, but, you know, everybody's 6-5 right now. Packers are 5-5-1, and the fact is, we're just getting rolling. There's five to go.
No, absolutely. You're just trying to win your game. I mean, that's all you're worried about. The amount of work and time you put into each game week, you know, you're just worried about your game at that point.
All right, I'm gonna have you guys embellish a little bit about your playing careers, because I know we don't have a ton of time, but Brendan, you're an Iowa undergrad, right?
That's where I finished up.
You finished up, and but you played linebacker at Catholic University.
Yep.
You coached at William & Mary, running backs and tight ends for 5 years, but you had a physical ailment that they said, hey, you weren't going to be able to play anymore. What happened there?
When I was younger, I had a bone disease called leg Calvi-Perthes disease, and the long and short of it is there's not enough blood flow gets to your hip joint. So I went through about 3 years of treatment, and wasn't working. Wound up having to have surgery. They called it Salter surgery. Actually went in and broke the pelvic bone, realigned it, pinned it back together. A body cast for 2 months, two more years of rehab. And then
you proved him wrong.
And I proved him wrong. So
Carson, you didn't know that. See, now you can have a good conversation when you're breaking down tape. You had an interesting career as well. 3 years assistant head coach, offensive coordinator at Winona State, where you played, right?
Correct.
And tell us about that. Good experience?
Great experience. It was an hour from home. My older brother played there, played with him for 2 years, and my younger brother came, played with him for 2 years, and just stayed close to home, and it was a winning program and a lot of good people.
And you played very well, All-American at three positions. I'm sure he didn't tell you that either, so you can talk about that with him.
Oh, he made sure I knew that.
Fellas, we got to run. I appreciate your time. Earlier tonight on the Coach's Show, Coach Trestman talking about only doing what you can control as they move forward.
Worry is just stress about things you have no control over, and that's things that are you think might happen in the future. The only thing we can take care of is the present moment, and you know, right now the present moment says get your rest, get your energy back and come in focused and ready to go on Wednesday morning. And that's what we asked our guys to do today. And we got a long season ahead. It's really the first game of the rest of the season. Season's really beginning on Sunday once again, and it does every week. And that's the way we've approached it. We're not going to change that approach. We'll let the other teams take care of the other teams, and we just got to take care of ourselves. And that means we've got to get back to work and get better and focus on growing as a football team. We got to go into Minnesota. We got to win a game, but that's not until Sunday. We got to get better each and every day, and that's where our focus is.
You mentioned takeaways, too. I don't think the team has had a fumble recovery since week four. Those often are also, and this is an argument we could have till the cows come home, I guess, but some of it is the bounce of the football and some luck involved, too, but it's also being in the right place at the right time and trying to get one of those. How do you look at the takeaway situation overall?
Well, it's not where we want it to be over the last couple weeks, as you said. Number one, we can't give the ball away offensively. We can't do that because that hurts the bottom line of the takeaways on the defensive side. But a lot of it is, just continue to work at it to make sure that guys are in the right place and where they're supposed to be at the right time. And we can improve in that area. We haven't had all of that happen on a consistent basis. And we've got some young guys doing it for the first time in their careers, and they're getting better. They're getting better, but that's where we have to go to work. You have to do your assignment. You have to be accountable to know where to line up, know where to be after the snap, and know how to adjust when things change. And I think that's the biggest thing with a newer group and a group that hasn't been around. When things change, you know how to respond properly, and that's the next phase of this learning process.
And everybody's got to go through it. You got to have failure to have success in your life, whether it's on the football field or off, correct?
Yeah, the biggest thing is to have the right attitude. Our guys do. I mean, they come to work every day and are extremely positive and energetic, and they've got amnesia. You know, whether we've won or lost, they've come back to work, and they've started over each and every week to try to get better, and we got to continue in that manner.
Do you find it any more difficult to convince a younger player of that? Because it could get into their head that, I'm worried about, again, I'm going to use that word worry, but, not making a mistake. That's something Shay McClellan brought up last week. He was too worried about mistakes. He didn't want to make the mistake as opposed to making the play.
I think that's a process that every young player has to go through. I think we have a leadership group here of guys, whether they're playing right now or not, they're around to help these guys out and to be a voice through their demeanor and through their actions and just simply helping coaching them up, whether it's what Lance is doing or what Charles has done when he's been around and has been out and so forth along the way. That we've got guys that coaches that are doing that job. We have players as well taking on leadership roles. Tim Jennings and guys who've been doing it for a while to help these guys along.
We often hear it when it goes well in a run game like this, when an offensive line and an offense can generate a ton of rushing yards, it's demoralizing to a defense. Do you see any signs of that at times with what's gone on with the rushing yards against your defense?
I do. I mean, I saw it yesterday when we fit the power right and everybody's in the right place, as we did in practice during the week in their walkthroughs and in the team-oriented areas of practice. We fit it right. It's a 3-yard gain. When we don't, somebody breaks a test. Somebody gets into space and makes a play.
That is Bears head coach Mark Trestman wrapping up tonight's Bears Coaches Show. A couple of reminders, it's that time of year again, so you can get your Chicago Tribune Thanksgiving Day edition stuff with thousands of dollars in holiday savings. Available from retailers all across Chicagoland or wherever newspapers are sold. And the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority this Wednesday, 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. That's going to wrap it up tonight for head coach Mark Trestman and his assistant coaches, Brendan Nugent and Carson Welch. Greg Miller, our producer, Andy Gersher, Steve Grzanich. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for joining us here on News Radio 780, 105.9 FM, WBBM. Good night, everybody.